everybody, and welcome to this edition of Simply Scripts Radio. And I think I did the exact same thing last show. I have to remember to remove that file from this player. Anyway, I am your host, Mike Shelton, and we are here this time with a very, very special episode that struck me as an inspiration last night when we had a very wonderful thread titled Religion. So we are going to be talking about religion on this episode of Simply Scripts Radio. And cue the crickets. No, we're not going to be talking about religion because religion is a very bad topic for people to discuss on the internet. Anyway, we are going to be going through the motions as usual here. We have one guest and two panelists tonight, a little bit different than what we normally have. We're one person short, unless things happen to work out later on in the podcast. So we're going to go ahead and start with our guest right now, Tyler Higgins, who is here to talk about and promote his online web series, Squirt. Tyler, how's it going?
It's going good, Mike.
Excellent. Now, I know you've just, was it yesterday or today, posted the first episode?
Just today.
Okay, and how many scripts do you have altogether? Was it about five or six?
Ten.
Okay, I'm a little behind. All right. And what?
They're not actually all posted on Simply Scripts, though. That's probably why you didn't know. But yeah, there are 10 scripts and 10 episodes.
And are you planning on doing one a week, once every other week?
Yeah, one a week on Fridays.
Okay. Do you have any more that are already actually filmed and you're just waiting to post them, or is this just kind of you're doing them as you go along?
They're all filmed.
Oh, excellent.
Actually, yeah.
All right. Now, for those who aren't familiar with the series, you want to go ahead and kind of explain to everybody what it's about?
Yeah, sure. It's about this kid named Dan Adams who wakes up one morning and is eating breakfast when suddenly water starts squirting out of his index finger. And, you know, he comes to sort of master this awesome superpower and use it for good. He teams up with a sort of nerdy friend of his named Rufus, and they get a sidekick who has the amazing superpower of pulling chopsticks from thin air. And basically, they work together to fight a pretty vile supervillain who can hypnotize people with a coin.
You know, I remember that, and I was kind of disappointed that you didn't go with my Mr. Watermelon Hands idea.
Well, I actually wrote Mr. Watermelon Hands into Watermelon Fists is actually what.
Watermelon Fists, yeah.
Yeah. He was in the audition script, but he didn't make it into the show in the end.
I won't be too disappointed about it. It's probably something, you know, I was drunk and I was posting it probably 3 a.m. Watermelon Fist is a good idea.
Almost as good as Parsley Fingers.
Yes, very good.
I have a question for Tyler. This is Michael.
Our producer chimes in.
Yeah, I noticed from your trailer, your little trailer you did for this, that it kind of had like a sort of monkeys kind of feel to it. And I was just wondering if that was going to be what the series was like or if that was just the trailer.
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by a monkeys feel.
Okay. Did you ever see The Monkees?
No.
Oh, okay. Then you wouldn't know. No. But kind of like a sort of 60s sort of...
We are the Monkees.
Yeah, kind of...
I know that song, but I never saw, like, the show.
It was kind of like crazy sort of 60s sort of comedy.
Yeah, it was a very campy type show. I don't know. To me, you know, believe it or not, it sounds very weird, but it always kind of reminded me of the Batman series.
Yeah, it's like Batman,
At least in the feeling of it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of have a theme with it. I only use Beach Boys music. I don't know what you want to do with that, but
Maybe that's what gave me the feel of the '60s sort of feel to it,
the promo I used here is in Villains.
Yeah. Well, then I have a question for you. If you say, I watched the trailer and I noticed the music thing, and I just want to ask you that, how does the using of Beach Boy, using the music, how does that work? Do you have to pay somebody, or are you just hoping that nobody will notice, or what?
You know, I'm just sort of hoping that nobody will notice.
But here you are talking to millions of people and telling everybody about it.
We had four people download the episode 35 times each last time.
You know, it's actually there are a lot of people who make videos like this, and they can actually get really popular before anyone starts to care about the music in them. There's this comedy troupe that I watch a lot called Old English Sketch Comedy, and they use really popular songs in their sketches, and they're actually really popular. I saw them in New York a couple months ago with Janine Garofalo, and they haven't had any problems, so I'm just kind of crossing my fingers and hoping for the best.
In my opinion, you know, what I think is that these artists that make music and stuff like that, I don't think it becomes a problem to them unless you start making money off of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be making any money off of this anytime soon.
Well, now the file that you had up, it was through Dailymotion, right? Do you have it up on YouTube as well?
No, it's just on Dailymotion. One of the reasons is because Dailymotion lets you put up longer things, and also they don't usually care if you use a song, whereas YouTube, as soon as you upload it, they can, you know, kind of freak out on.
Well, that's always, I've seen videos where, you know, they keep the video up there, but the audio, and, you know, it's like, okay, well, this is kind of pointless unless, you know, you're doing a silent film, which, you know, obviously are not.
Nope.
Now, I just checked the main page on Simply Scripts. I noticed that the film isn't up there yet. I know Don hasn't gotten around to actually updating things yet, so I would imagine to expect to see it up there in the near future. If you do happen to go to the main page, you don't see it there, you can always go to the discussion board, click on the portal, and you'll see Squirt the Series, and that will lead you to the link, and, you know, everybody can check it out. Beyond that, Tyler, are you working on anything else now? Any other plans? I know you were doing some of the feature stuff, Love Bites and stuff like that a while back. Is that anything that's still in the works?
No, Love Bites is pretty much died, but I'm working on writing a short that I hope to film this summer. It's about this guy who dresses up as Robin Hood so that he can mug people without them really minding. The idea being that, you know, if you're robbed by Robin Hood, you know.
That reminds me of something.
No, it's a good idea for comedy because it made us chuckle when he told us. So, you know, if the concept makes you chuckle, then it's usually a good idea for comedy.
Well, I have a question actually for Tyler, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a web series, okay? Do you what kind of website do you have it posted on, and do you keep track of the downloads and where they're coming from and that sort of thing? I mean, what is the interest in this, and how are you trying to promote it, and how is it going? I mean, is it growing, or you know, tell us a little bit about how that part is going. I'm just curious, you know. I mean, I like it. I like your writing. I always thought you were this nice little guy to just recently. But, you know.
What happened just recently?
No, you know, it was that one time when he, whatever. Just tell us, you know, like.
What?
Shut up, Mike. Are you keeping track of downloads or views, or do you know where the views are coming from? And
yeah, I just posted it this afternoon, and I've been keeping track of the views a little bit. I think it has something like 50 views on Daily Motion. It's also posted on this website called bbctv.com, which is a virtual TV website, I guess. I don't really know too much about it, but I just kind of figured, you know, why not?
But do you have any ways, or do you have some kind of tracking software that tells you? Because I do on my website, you know, where downloads come from and things like that, which is kind of interesting to know.
That would be interesting. All I really have is the view counter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't like it counts every IP address every time they log on, you know, don't exclude them, just add them once.
You know, I'm not exactly sure.
You don't have it posted on your own website, right? Or any, you just have a
No, yeah. Just Daily Motion and BBC TV.
Well, I think if Don, our beautiful,
webmaster.
Amazing webmaster. If he posted it on the homepage, it's Simply Script, I think you would be amazed just how many downloads you will get. It's really, really that, you know, really that far reaching, really. That many people that come every day to Simply Scripts, the homepage.
While we're on the topic
I know a
downloads,
lot of us just come to come.
I'm going to butt in here and cut you off because something just occurred to me. While we're on the topic of downloads, I think our first episode had somewhere in the area of 3,000 downloads. Our second episode had about 400.
so download it. Download it.
This one will have six.
I was drunk.
But I think the reason behind that was because there was something in there about Mystery Man on Film. So if we can say Mystery Man on Film enough time in this podcast, maybe it'll be worthy of a tag, and we can kind of, you know, piggyback on that. So
okay, we'll remember that. Mystery Man on Film.
Yes.
Mystery Man on Film.
It's a really good blog. And in case
Mystery
you didn't
Man
hear that,
on
it's
film.
Mystery
Woo.
Man on Film.
Oh, we yells.
Very nice, very nice. Tag it, tag it. There you
tag
go.
It, tag it, tag it. Yeah.
Hello, 3,000. All right, so anyway, I cut P off. You go ahead. Michael is telling me to go to the panel now, and we have actually the only person in our call right now who hasn't said anything yet, James, who's going to talk about, as I've been told, features. Now, what features he's actually going to be talking about, I don't know, so... Surprise me, James.
Okay, I'm actually talking about writing features.
Writing features, okay.
As of like the past 2-3 years, I suppose, that I've been here, it seems like Simply Scripts is a hot spot for shorts.
No.
And, yeah, obviously. Features seem to be making a comeback right now, what with the 7-week challenge and a couple of regulars posting new scripts. And I noticed a lot of people talk about their goals for 2010, which is to write their first feature. And it seems like everybody thinks it's a really daunting task. And, you know, I have more of a problem with shorts than features, strangely enough. So I figure I could say something on writing shorts. You know, all script starts with ideas. And I think the only difference between shorts and features is features starts with lots of ideas, and the main thing is you got to write them down, like all of them, because they come, unless you have the story and characters all down pat, like at the beginning, they all come like really haphazard, so you really got to write them all down if they're worth writing down anyways. And don't be afraid of bulk, because it's easier to cut down on something than have to build it up once you wrote 50 or 60 pages. So really bulk up, and eventually you'll get to the point where, you know, you'll have your characters and your story, and you'll know where you want to take things. So then you can put everything in order and really polish it up. But at the beginning, it just starts really haphazard. I actually start by writing the characters and the story in different sections, because you know, the treatment's basically the chronology of the whole script. And the character stuff is there because each scene you should write out what the characters are going to talk about and say, but it's hard to keep track of, like their internal development. So it's good to keep, profiles on each of the characters. So, you know, you never lose track of what's supposed to be going on with them throughout the story. But that takes sort of a long time, but it's definitely worth it. And eventually, you know, the script just writes itself because you have everything written down and you know exactly where to go. So the treatments I usually write end up around 10, 15 pages, including the character profiles. So once you actually start writing the script, here's probably the most important thing about writing features to me is write every fucking day. Seriously, everybody's busy, like obviously, but to writers, like basically everything that goes on in your life is an excuse not to write. So you really got to push yourself to write, you know, even one page every day. Cause if you're writing a 90 page feature, you know, you write one page, you'll be done in 3 months, which isn't too bad. But you really have to push yourself because missing one day, it's really easy to get lax and just drift away from the writing process pretty much. And once you write every day and you really get into a groove, you know, you kind of just do it automatically. And before you know it, you know, you've written a feature. So it's really not like a really big task, really. Like it takes a lot of time and you really have to think about it. But that's really the main thing if you're really willing to put in all that time. You know, it's really worth it in the end. And the last piece of advice I actually can't take credit for at all. It was actually, Phil. I learned it from Phil. He said, after you finish the feature, put it aside for 2 weeks and don't even think about it or anything like that. And I think when you do that and you come back, you really have a fresh perspective on the script and it's really apparent what you need to change because, you know, rewriting immediately after finishing a piece of work, you know, gives too much zone of just putting stuff on paper and you're not really thinking about how it's supposed to work out. And so that's basically it. I could go into a lot more detail, but it really monotonous. So I think that's basically if you have that mindset of just spending a lot of time and you know, just willing to commit yourself, you can write a feature. It's pretty, it's not easy, but it can be done for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with, you know, like with, like I said, with Phil's advice, you know, you finish something, you put away for 2 weeks, you know, come back, be objective about, you know, you can look at your own stuff, you know, not think that it's automatically gold. You know, I mean, things like that, they do make a big difference. I mean, that's one thing too with the website. You know, I would post something up there, which, you know, I had a bad habit of posting early work, you know, while I sat on it. Other people could look at it. They give me feedback. You know, I would just basically discuss things with them based on my memory of, you know, what I'd written, which, you know, was usually pretty fresh since I just finished it, and then being able to, you know, go back to it with, you know, my own fresh perspective as well as the perspective of, you know, the few people that actually got around to read it and giving me some notes. You know, that makes a big difference going forward, at least in my experience. Now, I mean, would you think something like with the like the 7 week challenge that just went on. I mean, you know, that they, what was it? I don't know, seven, eight people, I think, finished the script in 7 weeks. I mean, you think that that's a good exercise to, you know, keep yourself motivated and working toward, you know, finishing a feature?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, like seven or eight people wrote features, just cause, you know, it was an organized thing. And, you know, at first I was kind of skeptical about it, but, you know, in the end, it got everybody to sit down and churn something out, and I think everybody worked really hard on it. I still have to read some of the other ones. I've only read He Is at this point, but, yeah, I think it's a really good thing, and I'd like to see more of it, frankly.
All right, excellent. Well, I believe that we are now going to move on to our next panelist, who is somebody that just kind of creeped in on us here. A couple minutes ago, and that is Phil, who was originally scheduled to be our guest, and we're going to go to him, and you still have kind of the interview format, you know, because he's...
Let's kill him.
Burn him at the stake. Phil, I understand that you're a home brewer.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about writing. We're going to talk about beer, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me.
Cool. Things got a little bit askew as far as our schedule here right now. So, you know, we're just kind of going by the seat of our pants. What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about beer now that someone brought it up. I'm not sure.
Get closer to the mic.
Well, actually, it's because I have a sore throat. That's why I haven't gotten rid of that sore throat yet.
Were you singing karaoke? Are you okay?
No, just screaming at the cat.
He's got a sore throat?
Yeah, I got a terrible sore throat now.
No, I meant your cat.
No, I got a sore throat from screaming at the cat.
Cats, I was joking.
No, I'm not joking. Not joking at all. I also got syphilis from the cat, but that's not... No.
Did you ever read that book called The Cat's Revenge?
No.
It was written by a fellow named Claude Balls.
Oh. Bada boom.
I like to keep things light.
Oh, I just got that.
All right.
Mystery Man on Film.
Okay. Mystery Man on Film. Good blog. All right, well, while we're on the subject of animals, tell us about Bad Penguin.
Well, I'm working on a third draft of it now.
All right, great. Now we're going to go and we're going to talk about some homebrewing.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, Phil. I'm just messing with you.
No, I'm working on a third draft of Bad Penguin now. And I'm actually, again, I listen to what the people are saying on the boards.
Not me, though.
I do listen to you on the boards.
Well, I told you to lose the penguin. You know, you're never going to get that piece of feedback.
No,
I have to chime in here, actually, because I have read the script, and I also read the very short and very disturbing little thing that Phil first posted like a couple of years ago.
Oh, the original Bad Penguin?
Yeah, and so I think that a lot of people have this idea that, oh, my God, I got to read this type of thing. But, you know, it's totally different. I think you did really, really good with the feature. I heard it. So don't cough when I'm building you up, okay?
I covered the microphone.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, I'm trying to give you praise here, you know. Don't spit phlegm on my praise.
Sorry.
You know, but you did. I think you did really well on this. I really do, and it's not really surprising because due to the short that not that many people read it, maybe. But I have to say to people that might be listening to this that the feature is totally different than the short. I mean, the feature is really not bad at all. I mean, no pun intended again. I mean, it's not Bad Penguin, but it really is a nice script, and I like the dark humor and stuff. And, yeah, thank you.
There's a dragon in the call.
Okay, but anyway, the feature, I would encourage anyone to read it, really. It's quite nice. It's pretty good.
It is. I enjoyed the script. I enjoyed the story. I thought it was, you know, interesting originally. I liked the time period that it was set in. And, I mean, I still stand by it. I do think that if you made the penguin an actual person, I think it would resonate with people on an even higher level, and it would make it seem less
cartoony. I don't think so. I think because it's a quirky story
I don't think it is. The penguin makes it quirky, but if you take the penguin out, I mean, you got yourself a nice, you know, kind of drama, comedy balance, and, you know, I mean, it got to a point where when I was reading it, I actually stopped picturing the penguin as a penguin, you know. And
I think that if you stop picturing the penguin as a penguin, I think that that's where the story works. I mean, that's when you start to like identify with it as like a character. And I think to me, what I liked about it is that nobody questions that he's a penguin. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what's so great about it. Yeah, here he is, and he does his thing, his human things, and he,
yeah, I mean,
you know, nobody goes, what is that? That's a penguin.
Well, I think part of it is I was going with the old Bugs Bunny way of doing things, where Bugs needed something, he just pulled out of his pocket, and he's not wearing pants, so I decided to just go with that. I did things, and people were saying, you know, Penguin has fingers. Well, yeah, when he's flipping near the bird, he has fingers, you know. But, you know, I'm going with the old cartoon styles, but I'm doing it, you know, the way that, again, the way Tarantino would do a Christmas movie. That's exactly how I was
picturing
it.
You know, like I said, I enjoyed the story and everything else. You know, maybe there's something in my head, you know, with the oversaturation of penguins in the market right now or that was going on, you know, with March of the Penguins and Farce of the Penguins and Madagascar and Happy Feet and, you know,
that's where this came from. I was spoofing them.
Well, right, but, you know, it's just, I don't look at it as a spoof. I look at it as its own entity because it just doesn't seem spoofy to me. But, you know, I would not tell anybody to not read it because I do definitely think it's worth the read. You know, and I know you've even shortened it since then, you know, and since I read it because you were at over 140 pages at one point, right?
No, I was 138. I got it down to 122. That's the one that's up now, 122 pages, and I'm working on it now. I can get another 5 off it. I think that'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, even at the 138, you know, I mean, that page count can scare people off, but it wasn't a drag.
Oh, yeah,
read.
I know it.
Yeah, but it didn't drag. You know, it was a quick read. I enjoyed it, and, you know, people should check it out.
I have to chime in again. I honestly think that of all the features that I have read of yours, Phil, you know which one I like, but we can't mention it here.
Well, you can mention it, we just can't really.
Yeah, well, Phil wrote an animated film, and I mean a script, and it's like, that's the best one ever, you know. But Bad Penguin, I liked it as much as I did the Druid thing. I mean, you know. It's
right,
a nice script.
I've got the Big Cane coming out and yanking stuff away, so we've got to move on to our next segment, which is, you know, somebody who's been very, very quiet during this recording, and that is Pia. And Pia is going to be talking about what goes into writing a reality show, and this is actually based on a question that we got at our radiosimply@gmail.com email address from Tommy. So, Pia, if you want to go ahead and talk about that.
Oh, I hate her. She just hogs the show. We get mail. Yeah, Radio Simply get mail. We actually did get an email, and if anybody else wants to send us an email about any questions or anything, I think it's radiosimply@gmail.com, and we got an email from Tommy Pascal, who is our favorite Tasmanian friend. and he had some good suggestions for future things, but he also had a question for me, actually. And the question for me I just suck at grammar, okay? What it's like to write for a reality show? And a lot of you know that I've been working on a reality show for 2 years. Well, I haven't been working on it. I've been trying to produce one, okay? So we are still, after 2 years, we are still in pre-production, okay? But it's a huge, huge project, okay? And so since we are still in pre-production, I can't really talk about that show specifically, but it is an elimination style show, so kind of try to picture in your head like Survivor or something like that, except for it's totally different. Okay. And when it comes to writing, you may read all the time that these shows are scripted, and that is true. I can't say that I know exactly how other people do it, okay? But how other reality shows do it, I should say. But to us, scripted does not mean that we tell characters or contestants that are on the show, we don't tell them what to do and what to say. Scripted just means that we have a template. And if you watch reality shows, you know that whichever show that you watch, you'll see that each show has the same structure. It has this or that or whatever. Our particular show is 44 minutes, and it's similar to Survivor, okay? So the writing itself is not the scripted part is not really what people should do. You have the template. Everything happens the same in each show. And then the particular challenges in our show, at least, is where we know where things will happen. This is where we know what we want to happen during these challenges, and we hope they will happen. If they don't, then we have to step in on site, you know, while we're shooting this and try to make things happen. But the writing itself is not at all about telling characters what to do or what to say. Whenever you read about the reality shows being scripted, it has nothing to do with the characters or the contestants, their reactions and things like that. Because if you did, I mean, it wouldn't be a reality show when these people that were on the show, they would have to be actors, really. So,
I've got a question about, I guess you could call it the early part of the writing process, and that's basically where does the idea come from? Is this did you have this idea and decide that it would be better suited as a reality show, or did you say, you know, I'd like to do a reality show and then try to come up with an idea suited that way?
this is a long story, okay? But I went to my hairdresser, okay? I'm sitting there and I'm complaining to my hairdresser. I'm saying, oh, you know, I gave up on horses. I sold my horses, blah, blah. All I want to do is make films. And she's like, really? Well, you know, she points over to two chairs away. There's this girl. And she knows this person who knows this person. And that's how I get hooked up with all these people, okay? So I get hooked up with this one person who had done documentaries and things like that. And so we met and we get along really well. And then we went to a kind of like a vintage airplane air show thing at Keystone Heights in that was 2 years ago. And so she introduced me to the idea of what I can't mention, okay? But so that's where it started. And it's been a really, really long and a really, really hard and rocky road until we are where we are today. But so I think it's really all about making connections. And don't be afraid. I mean, people seem weird. I mean, yeah, these people were weird. But don't be afraid to make connections, because you never know where it's going to lead. Because this connection, not only are we working on this giant, which has kind of snowballed into a huge production thing, but we have other projects in development too. And I have met connected with other people in the industry and things like that. So you never know what's going to happen. But, yeah. Anyway, when it comes to writing for a reality show, don't think you're not going to get paid. It's not a screenplay or a television play where it's like so-and-so does this and so-and-so says this, because it's not. It's more about what we expect as producers to happen during that particular show. And if it doesn't, then somebody has to get out there on time, I mean, right then and there, and make it happen. And that's how it is.
Oh, there you go. There's a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at how reality shows work. We are going to wrap it up now. We've got a little bit of an extended size episode for you going this time. By my counter, we're looking at about 48 minutes, although, you know, probably subtract a few minutes because when you're BSing around beforehand. But we'd like to thank you for taking the time to tune in this time around and listen to us. And on behalf of Tyler, Phil, James, Pia, and Michael Cornetto, I'm Mike Shelton, and until next time, keep on typing. fuck the closing. See you next time, people. Mystery Man on Film.